I want to welcome you to the Retro Rogues Live podcast. This is a segment from last week's live video show. The live show is available every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter. Simply search for BassGod14, that's BASSGOD14, on either YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter. And now, on with the show. I want to welcome you to the Retro Rogues Live. Please pay attention to our warning graphic. It states that the Retro Rogues Live show is intended for an adult audience and not intended for children under the age of 13. Parental discretion is advised. Again, I want to welcome you to the show. On today's Sunday afternoon show, we're going to be talking about the adventures of Captain Marvel, the original movie serials from 1941. I don't think we're going to have a lot of pop culture or streaming wars news per se, but you know, hopefully at least there'll be a lively discussion. So again, welcome to the show. My name is Dave Bate. I'm one of your hosts. For the last 30 years, I've been a professional illustrator and graphic designer. Worked on a lot of fun things that some people have heard of, such as Batman Incorporated, Justice League of America, and even Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. But enough about that. I want to welcome back my co-host. This is Mr. Eric Alexander. Eric, please tell whoever might actually be watching out there what you have worked on as a creative professional.
Yes, hello everyone. I'm Eric Alexander, also known as Bass God 14. That's Bass God 14, not Bass God 14. That's Bass God, like a bass guitar. And I'm the chief financial officer of Bad Bob Productions, which is a small film production company located in Arizona. And currently I'm the executive producer on a project called Staycation, which is supposed to be filming again anytime now, actually this month.
All right, very cool. All right, so I think, Eric, this will be easy to keep this one to 45 minutes, but we'll see. All right, so hopefully if there is anyone out there watching, hopefully in the Rogues Gallery, we want to encourage you to comment during the broadcast this afternoon. Now, we are doing a Rogues retrospective. May be asking yourself, what does a Rogues retrospective mean? Well, a Rogues retrospective basically means that we are going to talk about how we originally heard about this particular film, how we felt about it if we had originally seen it back then, and then secondly, how we feel about it today, having hopefully recently rewatched, in this case, part or a portion of it. Now, this is a very, very old film. This goes back again, like I said, to 1941. I'm going to read the summary here just real quick. Let me open my phone back up because it went to sleep on me. This is coming from IMDb. To protect a magic talisman from being used for evil, a teenage boy named Billy Batson is given the power to become an adult superhero, Captain Marvel, with a single magic word, Shazam. All right, so that's the summary from IMDb. We are going to be talking about the first six episodes. So we want to start off by talking about how we actually first heard about it. Eric, tell me, how did you first hear about the adventures of Captain Marvel?
Well, my brother, but going farther back, my father's favorite superhero was always Captain Marvel. And we're talking about the Shazam Captain Marvel, the originally, I guess, Fawcett Comics Captain Marvel, way before the Marvel version of Captain Marvel, otherwise now known as Shazam. But I still call him Captain Marvel because that's how I grew up calling him. So it was my dad's favorite superhero. He kind of gave that fandom to my brother. My brother collected the Silver Age Shazam comic books, the Captain Marvel comic books. And so I had exposure to them basically growing up throughout my entire childhood. So I was very aware of the character. And as far as the serial goes, I don't remember if we specifically owned the Captain Marvel one or not, because I can't remember which films my dad had on film. He had several films on like 8mm film. And of course they were like little highlight reels, right? It wouldn't be the entire, like this entire thing is over 200 minutes long. It's like 4 hours long if you do the entire thing. We're covering the first six episodes today, so basically going halfway of the 12 episode run of this particular serial. But I seem to remember my dad did have like a version of it, you know, on film, and I can't remember if that was one of the ones that worked or not, because there were certain films that he had that didn't work because like the camera didn't, the projector that he had didn't go at the right speed for those older films. Any of you who grew up during that era, you might have a vague notion of what I'm talking about, because even I only have a vague notion of what I'm talking about, because I remember my dad had a fairly modern projector, but you know, he was, you know, an older guy and he had had other projectors throughout his lifetime. And so he had films for them, but they didn't work the right way on that projector. Like they would go too fast like this. And there was apparently no way to adjust the speeds on those things. So it was kind of interesting. So I can't remember. I know he had like a Flash Gordon one. I remember that. I remember he had one of those. And I guess, like I said, it was like an 8mm film or whatever. And we would try to watch some of these things sometimes. And of course, like I said, the speed was all screwed up. And I feel like he had Captain Marvel, but I can't remember for sure if he did or not. I wish I could find all those old films and see exactly what was in his collection. I definitely had heard about it. My dad was a fan of the serials, although I don't think this was his favorite serial by any means. In fact, I know he had a small collection of serials that he got either on VHS or he got on DVD. And I wish I had actually been able to take a look at them before we started this episode, just so I could say that these are the ones that he had. Because I know he showed some of those to me. I remember that. I remember he got one of these big VHS bundles one time, and he basically forced me to watch this random serial that he really liked, which was like his favorite. And it wasn't like Flash Gordon or, you know, Buck Rogers or Superman or Captain Marvel or Batman, all of which had serials, but it was something like completely different. It was a completely like original IP that I think was also Republic Pictures, although there were some other companies that were very famous for making serials at that time. Republic is the one who made the Captain Marvel serial. So I was aware of it, but I never watched it. I never certainly had watched it complete or anything like that.
Interesting. I have, to trace back to my first time hearing about this, I actually have to go to my love of Batman. So I've been a big Batman fan since as far back as I can remember. And in the run-up to the 1989 movie, they were releasing a lot of things Batman-related on VHS. I remember about that time was one of the first times that they had done something to release the 60s TV series actually out on VHS. And Adam West was going around and promoting those at Blockbuster Videos. You go to Blockbuster Video and you could rent the original Batman television series. A lot of the original cast had come out to help promote that initiative. As a part of that, there was a company that released the original Batman movie serials on VHS. And my mother had actually found those and actually bought me the movie serials on VHS for the original Batman. And so I watched those and I was really just enamored with the idea that there was this really old black and white from the 40s, back when Batman was originally created, production that had been made, right? This, of course, is the problematic one, you know, that was during World War II. You know, they made a later one, but I've never actually seen all of the later one. I can never actually, I've always seen half of the later one. I've never seen the whole, like all the chapters for the second version that they did, only the first one. Well, anyhow, in relation to this, I began to go, well, wait a minute. If Batman had movie serials in the 40s, who else had movie serials in the 40s? So that began kind of my quest for information. So I used to haunt the library when I was a kid, kind of like after school or whatever. And so I started digging into different kinds of books about comic books and superhero history, and actually also too about movie history, trying to track down who had a movie serial, you know, could I actually find it to watch? And that's when I discovered the fact that Captain America had a series of movie serials. The Phantom had a series of movie serials. It's weird because I'd heard about it before, but I didn't really connect the idea that the Kirk Allen Superman was a movie serial. I don't know why that was, but up until that point, I had never made that connection. When I see that, I just thought it was some really old Superman movie, you know? And for whatever reason, I'd never really bothered to search out the Kirk Allen one, and I don't know why. Well, in my process of my research, I discovered that Captain Marvel actually had a movie serial. And his was one of the easiest to find information on because Leonard Maltin, the guy who reviews movies, a lot of people know Leonard Maltin for his movie reviews, is quite a fan of this one. And so I was able to actually track down a copy of the original Adventures of Captain Marvel movie serials on VHS. And that was how I, when first heard about it, was actually just going through books and reading about it. I did find some references in like a book about DC Comics history, and they were talking about it. That was when I first read something about it. But it was the Leonard Maltin movie review book where I actually found some more specific information. It was a Republic Pictures, you know, the whole thing, you know. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I was able to actually track it down once I understood what I was looking for. Because you have to remember that Captain Marvel slash Shazam is kind of confused. Because if you're looking for Captain Marvel at a certain period, depending upon if it's a mom and pop video store or a chain, you're not necessarily going to find it because it's Shazam. It's not necessarily Captain Marvel. Isn't that ridiculous? Like this whole confusion with the name. So you have to kind of know what you're looking for. But I did actually find it and was able to watch it on VHS. And that was the first time that I'd heard about and actually originally saw The Adventures of Captain Marvel. Now, Eric, I know you said you were trying to remember if it was one that your father had owned or not. I know that you said in the last episode we were talking about this that you had actually seen some of the flying scenes from it. Had you seen much of The Adventures of Captain Marvel before rewatching it for the show?
I had seen a documentary, and it was I can't even remember what it was called, but it was sort of a bit of a kind of cheesy documentary on superhero movies. This was way before like the MCU, you know, that kind of era. I think it was maybe like around. That particular documentary, I think, was made maybe like around 1990. So probably because of the Batman boom, they were doing like all sorts of stuff. You were mentioning that like they were doing all sorts of stuff related to anything that had to do with superheroes, not just Batman, because of the success of the Michael Keaton Batman movie. And in the wake of that, I seem to vaguely remember there was a documentary that came out and started talking about all the previous superhero films. And this having been a theatrical release, even though it was a serial, they included that in that retrospective. And I seem to remember that's where I became aware of the flying scenes and things like that, because a lot of people talk about that, that this version's better than the Superman serial. That the Superman serial, I guess, uses sort of like a little animation trick. You know, it was like basically Superman suddenly became animated in order to fly, because apparently Columbia Pictures, which did the Superman serial, which came after this, was notoriously cheap and would cut corners all over the place on their serials, where I guess Republic Pictures was willing to spend a little bit more money, even though, relatively speaking, these still were fairly cheap, even by Hollywood standards at the time. That's where I remember becoming aware of it. It was watching that documentary, which I can't remember what it was called, but I do remember seeing that and them talking about the flying scenes.
Yeah, and that was kind of the deal with Captain Marvel, The Adventures of Captain Marvel, is when I actually finally got a chance to see it when I saw it way back in the day for the first time, I was kind of amazed at how good some of the flying sequence stuff actually works, especially when you consider at the time that, you know, they didn't have anywhere near the technology that we have now. And it was interesting too, because, you know, you watch it now and obviously you can tell it's a dummy on a rig, you know what I mean? Being basically hoisted or slid through the air, you know? But I was still at the time pretty amazed because it seemed so seamless and it wasn't immediately apparent that the wires anyway, you know? And I thought that was pretty neat and inventive for back then, because at this time period, you know, there wasn't a lot of flying scenes like this being done, you know, in movies and movie serials and the whole deal. I mean, it would have been totally brand new to even try and envision what you're seeing in a comic strip or a comic book even is. And I always thought that was really kind of cool. Let's talk about how we feel about it today. Maybe we'll go ahead and we'll do a little spoiler warning, because I feel like we probably need to get into some spoilers to talk about how we feel about it today, because there is some changes and a little bit of changes in the Captain Marvel mythos or the Shazam mythos actually for this series of movie serials. So let's go ahead and do that. So we'll just warn everyone right now, we're going to do some spoilers and we're going to get into that. So tell me, Eric, you said you just recently recently watched the first six episodes. We did watch this on Tubi. So people that are curious about this, you can watch Adventures of Captain Marvel on Tubi. I thought that was really kind of fun. I was surprised at the selection of things that were on Tubi. It's been a little while since I've actually visited the app and saw what they had. And I was like, wow, I've got some interesting stuff on here. So I thought that was pretty cool. So tell me, what did you think of seeing the Adventures of Captain Marvel today?
It's pretty interesting. So the way that the format is a little different than what you might be used to, because, you know, I think some people might think of serials being very similar, obviously, to television, and the way that we do shows today, or even you know, streaming shows, you know, such as, like, say, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier or something like that. And it is similar, actually, to streaming shows when you think about it, because the length isn't always consistent. So the very first episode is like 30 minutes long, and then the subsequent episodes are anywhere from something like 15 to 16 minutes. They generally range under 20 minutes. And I thought that was interesting. I didn't realize that, because at first I was thinking, you know, and I watched the very first episodes, like, wow, are they all like 30 minutes long? You know, that's crazy. But they aren't. They aren't. They actually are much shorter as you go through the rest of the series. But the first episode is actually quite long. Like I said, it's basically like a double episode almost in terms of length compared to all the subsequent episodes. So I thought that was interesting, because I wasn't prepared for that when I first started watching. I hadn't checked to see I knew how long this episode was going to go, but I didn't know how long episode two was going to go. And so I thought that was kind of interesting in terms of the length, because that's the way that streaming shows are now today, is like they're very inconsistent in their length, because obviously when you have things on television, they had to be set because they had to be timed exactly right for either the 30 or hour format and for the commercials, right? Well, these weren't timed for commercials, although Tubi does have commercials because it's a free service. They weren't made to have commercials. So it's kind of interesting from that respect, just the format of them. It's interesting with the flying, the whole issue of the flying. Okay. One thing that the movie benefits, one thing that the movie's age actually benefits it, is that because this isn't like the greatest print in the world, because there are some issues with it. In fact, there are points in it where you can actually see like the little jumps in the film and things like that. In certain episodes, although for the most part it's pretty crisp, but there are parts where you can see that, like the little flashing things and all the weird things that used to happen when you were played an old film over and over and over and over and over again. Because of that, I think that actually does help the effects a little bit in terms of being able to sell the effects and that they actually look okay. I think if you had like a really cleaned up, I'm curious about the Blu-ray. Like we were discussing off the air that there's a Blu-ray version of this that was made in like 2017. I'm curious how much they might have cleaned it up, and if you can see like all the wires and things like that, because that often does happen with older films and things like that. But I haven't noticed that watching this one. And they don't just use a dummy for the flying scenes. They do use the actors and things like that. They do a lot of jumping. You can tell that because they were trying to figure this whole technique out, it almost feels like a lot of times he's leaping and then he's like kind of like coming back down, that kind of a thing, because that's just the way that they did it. So it's interesting because they did like a hodgepodge of different techniques to try to make this illusion of flight, which I think is kind of cool because this is the first place to do it, basically. Apparently they did another thing, I believe they called Rocket Man, and they kind of built on the techniques that they had established in Captain Marvel for that series. I came across that in my research. So it's kind of interesting what they did. And again, they did it first. This is basically the first, you know, superhero live action movie. The Superman animated cartoon was around before, but as far as live action, this is the first time you see a superhero adapted from the comic books. So they really were kind of like treading on new ground. You know what I mean? It was really sort of groundbreaking at the time, and it is interesting to watch just from that aspect alone.
Now, one of the things I find interesting about this is, number one, when you watch it, you can tell it's old or older because it's black and white. Number two, you can tell by the clothes and the styling and whatever. But I also feel like, too, you can tell this is an older production in terms of the philosophy of the characters. It's just interesting. If you watch something today, all right, and someone pulls a gun on a bunch of characters, you would not see the reaction in a modern production today that you see in this. And I kept thinking about that because I have this. I rewatch this probably about once every year or two. I do have it on DVD, DVD, not Blu-ray, but DVD. And I always found it interesting. It was a different time, like someone pulls a gun and he's questioning his two characters, and Billy Batson without the powers never thinks twice about jumping somebody with a gun. Did you notice that? He never thinks twice. And it's that rugged American idea, right? Like sometimes I know some of us feel that way still, but I was just surprised to see it. When you see them with so the way this sets up, just real quick, they're on an expedition, the Malcolm Expeditionary Group, and they've gone out. I think it's Siam, I think is where they said they went. But they go out and they find this, they have this dig, and they're trying to find relics or something relating to what they're calling the scorpion, and it's some ancient culture or something or whatever. And it's just such a completely different thing. I mean, they're armed to the teeth of this expeditionary group. They never think twice about fighting back with people. It's just this like old American idea that I don't know. I just thought it was really interesting because, everybody's running around with a gun, when they're on the expedition. Nobody thinks twice about jumping any of the villains with a gun. Nobody, not Billy Batson's friend Whitey, like none of them. They don't think twice. It's like they just wait for that guy to just look the wrong way, and man, they jump everybody. It's just hilarious. And one of the other things I love
it's funny though, backing up to the basic premise as you were talking about the setup, you can really see, because it's often been said that Spielberg and George Lucas were heavily influenced by serials. And of course, people will talk about Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers a lot, particularly, when referenced to Star Wars. But you can see Indiana Jones, And you can see that premise was there for quite a bit. In fact, people have been talking about Indiana Jones 5. That's the only little stuff that I've heard on Twitter. It hasn't been very good, but I've heard them talking about it. But the basic premise comes from this kind of stuff. I mean, when it really is, it's the same kind of thing. Indiana Jones is an archaeologist, right? He carries a gun. He carries a bullwhip, that kind of thing. Real archaeologists, for the most part, don't do that, folks. You know what I mean? So it's kind of funny because in this film, you have that. You know what I mean? So you can kind of see the origins of characters like Indiana Jones as well in a serial like this.
And it's just interesting to see kind of just the different sentimentality about how, for lack of a better way, Americans thought of themselves on film in 1940 versus how we think of ourselves when we see ourselves on film today. It's a stark, stark contrast. Now this does deviate too from the Captain Marvel mythos as well, because in the classic version, which is interesting because you can see the influence that the movie serial actually has on the comic books. Because if you read the original comic books, it's pretty much like the newer movie that people have seen. Billy Batson basically gets on this magical subway type thing. He's an orphan. He gets taken to the Rock of Eternity. The aged wizard Shazam comes out and says, speak my name and you may have my powers. Like the whole thing. Like that's the classic version. This is a little different because this version of Captain Marvel is directly related to this particular version's storyline. They basically unearth this artifact called the Scorpion. And once they do that, it triggers a series of events that basically reawakens the wizard. The wizard gives the powers to Billy Batson. And it's pretty quick too. They don't spend a lot of time setting everything up. They go really quick. It's like, say my name, you get my powers, you know, and within a few seconds, he's Captain Marvel and he's going. And it's just so different. It's a movie still, the pace has got to be fast. But in addition to that, it's just the kind of idea of it. And I remember the first time I saw it, I didn't like that too much. I didn't like the fact that they deviated from the classic, you know, Captain Marvel mythos. I thought he was already Captain Marvel, honestly, when I originally watched this. I remember back in the day. It doesn't bother me now because I've gotten used to it. But what's interesting is you can see the influence of this in the comics because they kept the origin the same until Jerry Ordway actually reintroduced Captain Marvel for a later Shazam comic book series. And that version actually starts with them on an Egyptian dig. And that actually sets up a little bit of the origin actually of Black Adam and the series of events that leads to Billy becoming Captain Marvel. So Jerry Ordway in his version of Shazam / Captain Marvel wanted to nod to the movie serials. But what did you think about that, Eric? Because I know you were familiar with the classic origin. I mean, did you find a little jarring at first, the fact that they changed it, or...
Well, it's funny that you said that you would assume that it was like he's already Captain Marvel. That's what I assumed, too. So not having seen it before, I just assumed that this was a fully developed character and they were just throwing him into this new adventure, if you will. But no, this is like their version of Captain Marvel. So, you know, as Dave mentioned, they actually gave him a specific origin story that's related to this story, which I actually kind of liked. I actually thought that was kind of neat. You know, I'm not one of those people that necessarily thinks you have to be a purist all the time. These are, you know, adaptations. You know, the comics, I think, should stand on their own. I think it's kind of neat when a show will stand on their own. Heck, you know, think about the RV version of Shazam, you know what I mean? So there's people that love it, right? But it's pretty cheesy when you think about it, right? Just the whole premise of this guy running around in an RV all over the place. So, you know, that's the 70s version for folks that may not be aware. So there are different interpretations of this character. And I don't think that that's a bad thing. I was kind of happy to actually see the origin of Shazam because the heart of it is still there, which is that it's the wizard Shazam. That's why he's Captain Marvel, folks. He's not Shazam. Shazam is the wizard. You know, so they do have that in this film where you do have Shazam, the wizard, actually come and he explains what Shazam means, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And he explains basically, you know, the powers of Captain Marvel and from where they're derived, which I always thought was neat, you know, because they have all the different, like, you know, Greek heroes and gods and things that represent the different aspects of Captain Marvel's power. I've always liked that. And that's in here. So the core is still there. And I thought that was actually interesting that they did that.
Yeah, I thought I enjoyed it. And one of the other things that's fun about this too, that I actually love when you actually go back and you rewatch like the Batman movie serials is, which again, you can tell this was made in a different time period, is the, well, for, this is going to sound really cold-blooded, and everyone's got to understand. I'm talking about this just from an entertainment standpoint, but the lack of sometimes respect of life, I guess, is the best way to put it. Because one of the things I love about the Batman movie serials is there's a period where Batman and Robin, Batman himself, gets knocked off the side of a building, and the cliffhanger, because each one of these chapters is a cliffhanger, everybody, in case you've never seen a movie serial. So each chapter ends with a crazy cliffhanger. It's like, is the hero going to live or die? Find out next week. It's like the Batman 60s thing. But this is what invented that. The Batman 60s TV show was...
that. And just, again, going to the modern age, we were just reviewing WandaVision and Falcon the Winter Soldier. They did the same thing.
Yeah.
They did the same thing.
Yeah. So. But there's this one where Batman is fighting this person who's like a radio controlled zombie or whatever, and he knocks Batman over the side of the building, and Batman's going to fall to his death. And in the second chapter, he lands on this scaffolding, right? Whether it's these painters or window washers or whatever, and they both fall off, and Batman doesn't even try to help them. They straight up fall to their death, and he's climbing right back up the side of the building. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. And in this one, my favorite thing is the way that Captain Marvel just grabs people and just hurls them like they're nothing.
Hurls them off first. The buildings and
head
stuff.
Yeah. First.
The biggest thing for me in that respect that stood out was, I think this is probably the only time you're ever going to see Captain Marvel operating a machine gun.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, that's pretty true. Neat. In all the comics that they did, I mean, maybe he did in another thing. You can't imagine why, right? In your head, you're kind of he's superpowered. Why does he need a machine gun? But, hey, Batman had a gun when he first started too in the comics, so it is what it is.
I love it. And that's the thing. Because it's so close to the creation of these characters, all the rules, quote unquote, are not set yet.
Right.
So yeah, these characters will do things. Because
we
think about
that, right? Especially, yeah. You know, me as I've said, I'm a DC guy, and as a DC guy, I like the way Batman has evolved into being, you know, someone who doesn't kill, right? But these characters, you know, in their early days, before they really knew what they were doing, they would do crazy stuff like that. And then, like you said, I mean, he literally hurls people off of buildings, like massive skyscrapers will just like just throw the guy off, you know. So
my favorite, though, is when, because I had forgotten, it's been a little while since I've seen these. I think it's the first time it's been probably about 2 years since I've seen these. But there was a period where he grabs this one guy, and it's one of the first times they come back to America, and they're trying to get one of the lenses. So the basic gist of it, just so everyone knows, just real quick, they have this device that uses these lenses, and it can turn things to gold, or it can disintegrate them. So it's either a weapon or potentially a device of great wealth. And so the members of the expeditionary group, they break up the pieces amongst themselves. So Captain Marvel's going to try and get one of the pieces back. And I just think it's so hilarious because he's beating up these guys, and one guy goes to close and secure the door, and he grabs one of the thugs and just head first just knocks him right through the door like a battering ram almost. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty brutal. Stuff. In fact, supposedly there's a quote from Quentin Tarantino where he says, like, this is the most like homicidal superhero like you'll ever see.
Yeah, it's great though. It's great.
And that's from Quentin Tarantino. So,
well, here's the deal for me. If you've never seen a movie serial, I can't think of a better one to recommend. Just so everyone knows, I've seen a lot of the old movie serials. My favorites is actually Adventures of Captain Marvel and actually Zorro's Fighting Legion. I don't know if you've ever seen Zorro's Fighting Legion, Eric, but that one is really fun. And so this is one of my two favorite movie serials of all time. Number one, because it's Captain Marvel. Number two, because the level of brutality is insane. Number three, the effects are so fun for the time when you consider that they were inventing all this stuff. And it just makes it really kind of cool. You know, you're seeing them first begin to figure things out that later on productions, like you said, would build upon. You know, they're building the technology for things that might still be being used to this day, and no one even realizes that gag might have actually come from, you know, some old movie serials like this. So this is a big, big, hard recommend for me. I love The Adventures of Captain Marvel. Again, you can watch it basically for free on Tubi. What about you, Eric?
Yeah, you know, the thing that strikes me the most that I think is the most interesting, especially if you have let's say you just watch the modern movie, that's your only familiarity with the character. It's interesting to see how they portray Billy Batson in this. That's what I thought was the most interesting to me, because Billy Batson is not portrayed as some sort of like helpless little kid. He's obviously older in this. I think he's still meant to be like a teenager, but we're talking like an 18-year-old or 19-year-old teenager, that kind of a thing. He does look young, but he is not a passive character. Billy Batson he's fighting in this. He's shooting. He's doing all that stuff. He is not a passive character at all. And I think that's the thing that surprised me the most watching the first six episodes, is how much Billy Batson is actually involved in the action, and Captain Marvel kind of is like, I won't say he's used sparingly. I mean, that's not the word I'm looking for, but he's not used as much as you would think he would be, I guess, is the perspective I'm coming from. And that Billy Batson does a lot of the action, which I also thought was really interesting.
It's cool because he really only calls on the powers of Captain Marvel when he really needs them.
Right.
You know, if there's a way for him to resolve the situation without using the powers of Captain Marvel, it's not his first immediate inclination. And it is interesting to see how, in, again, a modern movie, a character who might be, you know, technically bullied, right, and considered powerless until he gets the magical powers, how this version of Billy Batson, you know, this sort of like kid before he becomes the hero, is not, you know, one to be bullied at all.
No,
he doesn't shrink from anything.
He's actually formidable in his own right. And that's what I think is really interesting, because I'm not sure we've ever really had, if that depiction of Billy Batson has ever really stuck. You know what I mean? So it's interesting to see it in this version.
Yeah, I've always loved these movie serials, and this is one of my favorites. I've just always loved this one. If you've never seen it before, again, the point of the retro rogues here, the rogues retrospective, are kind of our Sunday matinee, is if you hear what we're talking about and you find it enjoyable, you can go watch it right after we're done here with the show. Although I don't think anyone's watching, but I said that anyway. All right, there you go. All right. So very cool. Very cool. All right. Do we have any news or anything we want to cover, Eric? Or
yeah, it's been a slow news day. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, I don't really have anything. Like I said, that we had talked off the air that there's been some buzz around Indiana Jones 5. Seems to be for all the wrong reasons. You've got directors going after YouTubers and things like that, which I think is complete garbage, but it is what it is. Slow news day.
Yeah. I don't have much of anything to really report either. I've been busy getting the studio ready for my my new gig that starts on Monday. So I've been kind of gearing up for that. And I didn't see anything that really caught my interest, to be honest with you. There's a few things kind of here or there, but I just didn't feel like it was worthy of spending a lot of time talking about. So, all right. Well, I
want to go ahead and plug our last show, because one of the reasons that we decided on this topic in the first place was because on our previous episode, our Thursday episode, which is a collector's corner emphasis, Dave did some recommendations on some Captain Marvel trading cards. And we talked about like the first appearance the first appearance that we had available. Dave mentioned that there was actually a previous card that he couldn't even find the image for.
Right.
We talked about this Cracker Jacks card that featured Shazam from 1979. And then also we had these numerous cards from the DC Comics Cosmic Cards line, number 13, 14, and 15 of the original Captain Marvel. So that was one of the reasons we decided to do this in the first place, for people that might be wondering, well, why are they doing Captain Marvel? Although any of you who are a fan of the Shazam film, you should probably know that Shazam 2 is getting a little bit of buzz. We talked about that in a previous segment where there'd been a redesign on his costume. A lot of people were talking about. So that's why we're talking about it. And consider checking out those previous episodes where we were talking about additional facets of Shazam, you know, the Shazam version of Captain Marvel.
Yeah, and that was kind of what I think kind of inspired all of this, is that I saw that image of Zachary Levi in the new suit, and it reminded me, because of how it was styled, even though it's got more textures and all kinds of other things, and the cape is going to be CGI and all that other stuff, I just thought it was really neat, because it just was more fitting with the Tom Tyler, the original movie serials version of Captain Marvel, and I thought that was kind of neat. And so that's kind of what started this whole nonsense. But I also know too that Eric's a big Captain Marvel fan. I actually rehung my Captain Marvel Filmation animation cell in the studio the other day. I actually hung it over my drawing table to act as inspiration for what I'm going to be working on. It's an original animation cell with a hand-painted background and the whole thing. And so I thought, well, let me have this here as inspiration, you know. So I rehung that yesterday. So
very cool.
Cool. Cool. All right. Well, I guess if that's good, I guess we're just going to call this the end of this episode of the Retro Rogues Live. Again, a Rogues retrospective on the Captain Marvel movie serial from 1941. All right. So hopefully we want to encourage you, if any of you see this after the fact, you know, please join us on Thursdays at 7 o'clock. And I guess is that Pacific Standard Time now, or Mountain Standard, or?
I don't think it's changed yet, right? I think it's still Pacific time.
Pacific. So yeah, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to join us for the Collector's Corner episodes. We talk about comic books, trading cards, action figures, statues, all those fun things we like to collect. We cover those on Thursday, again, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And also hopefully join us next Sunday. We will do another Rogues retrospective, talking about another interesting retro film of some kind. We haven't really discussed what we're going to be talking about for next week, but we'll be back next Sunday for another Rogues retrospective. I want to thank you for hopefully watching or listening to this episode of the Retro Rogues Live. My name is Dave Beatty. I've been one of your hosts. You can learn more about me, as well as see a lot of the things I currently work on over at KirbyTees.com. KirbyTees is my t-shirt company. You can see that, as well as see all the fun things we have to offer, as well as the Retro Rogues Live t-shirts. Again, the website is KIRBYTS.com. And I'd like to encourage you to consider purchasing a Retro Rogues Live t-shirt and supporting what we're doing here on the show. We would greatly appreciate your support. And along those lines, if you know anyone you think might enjoy the show, please tell them about it. Please share the links, all those kind of fun things. See if we can grow the audience and make the show more fun for everyone who watches. I want to thank my co-host, Mr. Eric Alexander, for joining me this Sunday afternoon and talking about Captain Marvel. Eric, please tell the folks hopefully watching or listening at home where they can learn more about you on the interwebs.
I'm most active on Twitter, so you can reach me there at BassGod14. That's at BassGod14. My DMs are always open, so I'm always looking for suggestions. And that includes topics for the show, whether that be collectibles like action figures, comics, trading cards, and the like. Video games would be fun. I would love to do some stuff about video games in the Collector's Corner as well. But also any news, rumors, hey, if you got them, send them my way. And then, of course, also for reviews for our Rogues retrospective. If there's a film or a television show that you want us to check out, let us know. It doesn't necessarily have to be something older even. We're always willing to check out new stuff as well. It's just that we try to focus generally on some of the older, more established legacy content. But we're open to all of it, folks. And if you want to hear our opinion on it, and we have access to it, we'll check it out, you know? Not necessarily even stuff that we enjoy. So just putting that out there. Unfortunately, it looks like the Rogues Gallery has not been very active today, so I don't have a comment to leave you all with. I always like to give the Rogues Gallery the last word on our show, but unfortunately, we don't have any comments today. But it is what it is. I understand that it's Sunday afternoon, and you're all just chilling and all that stuff. So, as the purpose of the show is, maybe you should consider checking out the Captain Marvel episodes there on Tubi, because, hey, it's free. And I'll leave that as the last word.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Retro Rogues Live podcast. You can learn more about Eric Alexander and find the live show on either Twitch, YouTube, or Twitter by searching for BassGod14. That's BassGod14 on either YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter. If you are curious about co-host Dave Beatty, you can see some of his art, find social media links, and so much more at his website, DaveBeatty.com. That's DaveBeatty.com. If you enjoyed this episode of the Retro Rogues Live, be sure to like, share, and subscribe.